Nun vav amadala, five lines from the bottom, starting at the new Mishnah. Elu dvarim shein lahem einah. Here's a list of things that actually do not have applied to them the din of einah of the 1/6 overcharge, and we have four things in the list. The Gemara will explain why each one of these don't have einah. Avadim is number one, slaves. Two is shtarais, documents, like IOU type document, where the person who buys the document would be able to collect whatever the money owed is. Karkois is number three, that would be land. And number four is hekdeshois, things that are hekdesh. If you have the temple treasurer selling things that are hekdesh, or let's say a carbonola that developed a mum, those types of things, ein lahem tashlumei kfl, they also do not have a double payment if somebody steals them, velo tashlum erev chamisha, and if they are slaughtered or sold, like a cow or a sheep, then there would be no 4 or 5 payment. Kama shomer chinam, if a person is watching any of these items, enoi nishba, he would not have to swear. Normally, a shomer chinam has to swear that he wasn't negligent, and then he's off the hook. Here, if someone's doing a shomer chinam on these items, he doesn't have to swear that he wasn't negligent. He's off the hook anyway. And enoi sischar, one who's basically watching for wages, enoi mishalem, if the items he's watching get stolen, he doesn't have to pay. Kama, Reb Shimon, who we boxed Oimer, he says, kodshim shehu chayav ba'achrayusan, it was a type of kodshim that you had made it kodesh by declaring, for instance, let's say a person says, hare alai ola, it is upon me an ola, which means if the animal that he separates out for an ola, something happens to it, he has to bring another one. Well, then, since there's a personal liability, yesh lahen oina'o, there would be the concept of 1/6 over or under charge, since the person does have some sort of monetary connection to it, that he would be responsible. It's considered sort of like his. Usheinu chay b'achriyusin, however, kodshim that are not a person declares just harezu oila, let's say, then he would not be responsible should something happen to it, and therefore he doesn't really have a monetary shaychus to it, and therefore ein lahen oina, there would be no oina shaykh to them. Rabbi Yehuda, who we boxed Oimer, af ha-meicher sefer Torah behemu u margalis, so too if somebody sells a Torah, a animal, or a pearl, or a precious gem, there is no oina. We'll see why in the Gemara. Amruloi, they said back to, I guess, Rabbi Yehuda, I underline the Amruloi, le amru ella es elu. They only said these things. Okay, and well, again, when we get to the Gemara, it'll become a little bit clearer. Says the Gemara Menahani Mili, where do we know that the list of things that the Mishnah started off with, that there's no ona, where do we know that from? Well, zet hanu rabbana. If a price that goes about 10 lines and starts here, it goes down till the first word of line is ach v'lai hektish, and that's the end of the brisa. So the pasuk that describes a 1/6 overcharge, v'chi timkaru memkar la'amisecha, when a person sells to his co-nationalist a sale, o kana, or purchases, miyad, I squiggle underline the word miyad amisecha, from his co-nationalist. That's the end of the quote of the pasuk. Now, the term miyad, from hand, was used, and we'll take hand literally, it has to be a davar, some sort of item, hanikna miyad le'yad. Now there's going to be a whole bunch of things that would exclude. Colon. Yatsu karkois, underline yatsu karkois. It comes to exclude land, chain, metaltalin. That's not a movable. That's something I can have in my possession and hand literally over to you. Yatsu avadim, underline avadim. Comes to exclude slaves, meaning the issue of 1/6 overcharge doesn't apply to slaves. Shehukshu le karkois. We know often whatever applies to land applies to a slave. Yatsu shtarois, underline shtarois. The exclusion of documents, IOU documents, dechsiv, as the pasuk says, ki timkeru memkar. It describes the memkar as something that you, like a tangible item that itself has an intrinsic value, shegufay machor, vegufay kanui. Like if I sell you my bowling ball, you're getting my bowling ball. And if I buy your bowling ball, I'm buying your bowling ball. Yotsu, the exclusion of shtaros. What's a shtar? Shtar says, babos me $100. Well, that document is basically just a worthless piece of paper that says Bob owes me $500. So it comes to exclude Shtar Shein Gufan Machor. It's not the piece of paper with the writing on it. It's the rights that come along with it. But the piece of paper with the writing on it, if worth anything, Ve'ein Gufan Kanui, Ve'ein An Oimdian, then what in the world is a document good for? Well, it's good for proof that someone owes money to someone else. Ve'ein Oimdian Elala Raya Shebahem, the proof or the things that are mentioned in them. Kama Mikan Amru, from here they have said, let's say you have a document, probably a paid-up document, you sell it to a spice merchant or a spice seller, somebody who needs things to wrap up his spices in. In that case, since you're selling it for its genuine value, like to use to wrap up spices, there would be Aina. Now, the Gemara parenthetically comes in for about two lines, the start of the brackets here, and says, Pshita. Well, of course. Why would you think there wouldn't be Aina if you're selling? I mean, truthfully, it was once used as a document, but now it's being used as a spice wrapper. So why would you think there wouldn't be Aina? Well, maybe you wouldn't, because La Fuke, this would actually be coming, the Chiddush, to teach us that we're going not like Rav Kahana. What does Rav Kahana say? Ein oinah l'prutos. These are little tiny things that are of such little value that they're basically just, in cents, not in dollars, in prutas, not in significant coins. There's actually no oinah on them, says Rav Kahana. Kamash malan yesh oinah l'prutos. So the Chiddush here is that, like those used pieces of parchment that had been used as a shtar, and then the shtar was paid off, and you want to use it to wrap up a spice, even though they're really not worth that much, still, there's oina in the realm of prutas and something that's not that valuable. I close the brackets there. And finally, hekdeshois, that was the fourth thing in our Mishnah that we said there's no oina, and line hekdeshois. Amar Kra, the pasuk says, Achiv, your brother, Achiv alei hekdesh. And we darshan that to mean like your fellow co-nationalist, in other words, fellow Jew, and not hekdesh. That's the end of the Tanaic source. Maskif la Rabba Bar Mamal, he asks the following. Well, one second. So you're telling me that the reason why land is not shayach to oina is because it uses the term yad. Davar nikna mi yad li yad, something that's transferred literally like hand to hand. Really? So kol hechatichsiv yodoy. I put the word yodoy in quotation marks. Yodoy mamashu, that means like literally hand. Well, elamiyat, what are you going to do with this pasuk in Dvarim that says tichsiv? It's talking about sichain, conquering land from Moav. It says vayikach es kolar. So sichain took all of his land from Moav. Miyadoy, from his hand. From his hand. Hachinami, are we going to say to here as well? Dechol ara biyadeh avinakele, that he held onto with his hand all of the land that he conquered? That can't be. Kama, ella, rather, yad must mean, not specifically hand, but like his possession. Rishusai, well then hachinami, so too maybe over here, it would mean mi rishusai. And therefore, karka and avadim would be included in dine oina. That's the question. So the Gemara makes a point, and a point here, I put a long point marking in the margin, goes from here down about nine lines till first word of line is lav. Here's the Gemara's point. So you're telling me that yad is not literally? Well, we've got a number of sources that yad is to be understood literally. V'chol hechtichsiv yadoi lav yadoi mamish, it means not like literally a hand. V'hatanya, but we have a Tanaic source. We'll call this the number one. I put number one above this V'hatanya. And we'll have a number two in about five lines from now. This brisa goes for two and a half lines and starts here. The pasuk says, Im himatse timatse be'yadoi. Okay, so if the item is found in his hand. Now, if that's somebody who stole it, and he said he didn't have it, but then he did have it, he has to pay kefo. Now, ainli ala yodoy aydad underline yodoy. How do you know that if you find like that item that he claimed he didn't have and actually he stole it, that's he found on his roof, his gogo, his chatsero, his backyard, his front yard, his carpifio, his backyard, minayin, that he would also have to pay kefel, double, tamaloymar. Well, the pasuk says, im himatse, timatse, like that double lush which comes to include mikol malkom, wherever you find it in his possession. Okay, now, the way that we learn this limud connector, time of dekas rachmanah, the reason is because the pasuk added the phrase, im himatse, timatse, if it shall surely be found. In other words, an extra imatse word. Halav hachi, if it weren't for that, Hava min, I would have thought that the word yad means literally yad. Kol echad tichsiv yadai, it equals yadai mamishu. Versu, and further. Tanya, we have another brisa. This one goes almost two lines. We'll call it the number two brisa. If you have a married man and he wants to divorce his wife, the pasuk says the following, v'nasan beyada, and he should place it in her hand. Now, are we going to take hand literally over there? Well, if we only had yada, what would it imply? Ainli ela yada. I would only know literally if he placed it into her hand. I dot underline those four words. How about if the husband placed it gaga on his wife's roof, right? He was trying to divorce her, chatsera, her front yard, karpifia, backyard, minayin, that would also be effective. Tama Leimar, pasuk says, venasan mikol makom. And the limud here is that it could have said biyada nasan, in her hand as he put it. Instead it says venasan, first he puts it, and then it says hand, which indicates the more important thing is that he's placing it. The secondary issue is it's in her hand. That's the end of the Tanaic source connector. Time of the Kasav Rachmana. So apparently the reason is because the pasuk wrote venasan. Okay, let's say it didn't say that. Kama halav hachi havamina. I apparently would have thought kol echad yichsiv yadai, yadai mamish. So it's pretty clear, both from this Tanaic source number two and Tanaic source number one, which we had about 6-7 lines ago, that yad is to be understood as yad mamish. Ella! So I squiggle under the ella. Ella kol yadai, whenever you see the term yadai in the Chumash, yadai mamish, that's to be understood literally as a hand. Well then, what's going on with Sichon in conquering Moab's territory would also use the term Yad Veshaini Hasam. It's different over there. Why? Because he can't explain it any other way. Deleik lememar hachi ela bereshusai. You can't explain the hand. You don't conquer, 70,000 square kilometers of land in your hand. You don't acquire that in your hand. So clearly hand there means possession. But everywhere else where hands could mean literally hand, we understand it as literally hand. Boy, I put a diamond around this boy. Five lines later, third word from the end of the line is another boy. I put a diamond around that. And on the fourth line of Nun Zayin Amud Aleph, the first word is a boy. Put a diamond around that. So let's see these three boys, then we'll call it a shear. Boy, Reb Zera, Schirus. We know if you buy something from someone, there's a concept of vayna, overcharge, undercharge. How about if you're just renting something? You're renting, let's say, a bowling ball. Yesh lan vayna? Is there vayna on that or ain lahin vayna? How do we look at it? Colon. Memkar, that word in quotation marks. The pasuk uses the term memkar amarachmana. That means like a sale, which is usually fine. Lava lois chirus, not renting. O dilmer, maybe loishna. Or no, maybe it makes no difference. Well, amar le. So he said back. I don't know who said back, but somebody said back. I guess Abaye, Amalei Abaye. Miksi, does it say in the pasuk it has to be a memkar la'olam, like a sale forever? No, comma. Memkar, I put that in quotation marks, stomachs, it just uses the term memkar, sale. Now, when you're renting something, are you not buying it for the day, so to speak, or the week or the month? V'hai nami, when you're renting something, beyume mechirahu. Basically, it's a sale for the day. It's another way of describing a rental is also a sale for a day. Period. Boi rava. Here's another question. There's going to be three parts of this question. I put a Roman numeral 1 in the margin here. Six lines before the end of the Gemara, first word line is Agav, I put a Roman numeral 2. And two lines below that, first word line is Omer, I put a Roman numeral 3. Boi Rava, Chitin, let's say you have some wheat seeds. I guess it would be called maybe wheat kernels. Vizaron Bekarka, and then you put them into the ground, Mahu. You just put them into the ground, like 5 minutes ago or yesterday. Question mark, comma. Yesh lahem oina'a? Double underline the word oina. Is there a concept of oina if you're going to some sort of sale? Would there be 1/6 price discrepancy issues? Oh, ein lehem oina. Colon. Now, when somebody takes seeds and puts them into the ground, how do you look at that? Now, we're not talking about 3 weeks later when it's already taken root. That for sure is ground-like. But when they were just put in, Kemanda Shadin Mekadadamian, do you look at it as though they've been put in a jar or a jug? The yesh lehem oina. And seeds would have oina, o dilma, or maybe batlinu al gav ara, or we look at it as though they became like secondary to the ground. How do we look at it? And therefore, there would be no oina. Well, hechidami, What exactly is the case over here? The Gemara wants to figure out. Elema, I squiggle underline the elema, and four lines directly underneath is the word eli, squiggle underline that. So if you want to say the case is da'amar ihu, let's say you have a seller and he says to a buyer, I'm going to sell you this here a piece of land, shadoi ba shisa, and I put six sa'a of wheat seeds in. I did it like just yesterday. Falsu sahadi, and witnesses come along, ba'amri, and they say, oh no, deloi shada ba ela chamsha, you only put five in. The ha amar rava, well, one second, that can't be the case, because rava says, kol davar shebe, either mida or mishkal or minyan. It's something that can be measured, and the person verbally totally misrepresented it, like he said five and they're really eight or something, or mishkal or weight or minyan number. Afilu pachas mikadeyayna chozer. Even if it's less than a 1/6 price discrepancy, chozer, the deal would go back. It's basically a mekach ta'os. So I want to read the Rashi, Dibur Maschil chozer, which is about 60% of the way down the Rashi lines. First one line is chozer. Let's read that Rashi inside. Why would the deal go back if he said that he planted six saw of seeds, really it was only five saw of seeds? De mekach tosu. It's like out of the realm of a price fraud and turns into a misrepresentation. Deha behedya piresh b'chasas kein. He spoke out specifically on the condition, is what he said, that there were six saw of eino kein. It turns out that's not the case. V'kevan sheha mekach tosu. And here I underlined like the next three lines in the Rashi. Afilu batzaluhu agav ara. Even if you want to say that the seeds would become nullified or secondary to the land, still chayzer, the deal would go back. Denohi de imit karkois mi denohi not. Granted that we've excluded land from the concept of 1/6 over under charge. However, and I keep underlining, mi din mekach taos le imit. They haven't been excluded from a different issue, which is total misrepresentation. And then I stop the underline. Shere einze mecher da daite tahachi lo yizavan. You can't even call it a sale, because the guy said specifically six, and it wasn't six, it was five. Ella, and we had squiggled on this Ella already, we're trying to clarify the case. Ella da amar ihu. It's where the seller said to the buyer, shadoi bo kedi boila. You know what I put into the ground? What is necessary? And it turns out, though, v'iglai milsa, delo shadaba kedi boila, and he did not put the proper amount in, he put less in. Yesh lem oina, oi ein lehem oina. Is there oina because it's still seeds, or not because it's kind of like in the ground now, maybe comes secondary to the ground, and there's no oina when it comes to karka. Colon. Do we say, commande shada bekata damin, it's as though they're placed in a jug, v'yesh lem oina, and there is oina, kama odom, or maybe but linu agavara, or they become secondary to the ground. Okay, no answer. We go on to the next question. I double underline word nishbain. Second question, nishbain aleinu, ein nishbain aleinu. If there was a moda b'miktsas case, where let's say the purchaser says, hey, listen, you said you were going to plant six saw in the ground that you gave to me, and you only planted five. He's basically claiming that he's owed one. The huaymer, and the seller says, oh no, I planted five and a half, so he's saying he only owes a half. So it's basically, you owe me one, and he's saying, no, I only owe you a half, and there would be a shvu, because that's moed up in mixes. So, nishbain alein, do you swear or not? Colon, commande shadim mekade damya, is it like the seeds are kind of like in a, I don't know, in a bucket, in which case, nishbain alein, there would be a moed up in mixes shvu there, o dilma, or maybe bat linu agavara. Or no, the seeds, now that they're in the ground, even though they've only been there for a short period of time, they become secondary to the ground, and we know, einish b'ayna land. You don't swear when it comes to karkar land. That's the question, and it remains unanswered at this point. Omer, I double underline the Omer. The Omer we know, well, coming up soon, hopefully to a Beis HaMikdash near you, on the 16th of Nisan, there's a special korban offered. It matirs, it permits the new grain, any of the grain that had been during the previous year. Will the Omer matir these seeds that are in the ground, matiran, o ein Omer matiran? And Rashi speaks out that, well, at least we think in the Havamina, it might be talking about that which grows from them. But the Gemara clarifies, hey, chidami. Well, one second, what precisely is the case? Ida ashrish, if the seeds you put in the ground have already taken root, well, Tanina, we have a Tanaic source that tells us what the din would be. And also, Idelo Hashus, if it hadn't taken root, Tanina, we also have a Tanaic source, it's the same Tanaic source, it's not. Here's a quote of a Mishnah, goes just over a line and says here, Im Hishrishu Kaidim Lo Imer, let's say you had seeds, and those seeds, you planted into the ground, and they took root before the Omer, before the 16th of Nisan, then Omer Matiran, that Omer, as long as the grain had, literally the seeds in, under the ground had taken root, the Omer will be Matirit, and when it eventually grows and is harvested, it's considered as though it's already Yashon, V'im Lav, and if not, Asur, and they would be forbidden, Ad Shiyavo Yomer Haba, you have to wait a whole nother year till the next 16th of Nisan. Okay, so we like have a Mishnah that tells us what the halachas would be. The Gemara clarifies though and says, "Lo, rather it's tzricha is necessary." De chatzdinu, you Rashi says chatzdinu, you harvested it from the chadash vizarinu kaidim laimer, and you planted it, I don't know, a few days before, let's say on the 12th of Nisan, or let's say on the 14th of Nisan, early in the morning. The Asale Omer, and then the Omer came on the 16th of Nisan, the Chalif, and passed by Alayu, the Yashush, and for whatever reason they hadn't the seeds taken root yet, maybe it wasn't so moist. Kaidim La Omer, Mahu, our question is if you want to pick those seeds out of the ground and eat them, are you allowed to or not? Mahu Le Minkat, to pick them out, Ulamechal Mi Nihus. We're not asking anything about if they grew. We're asking about the seeds themselves. Do we look at those seeds, those few days they were in the ground? Commander Shajin Bekadis, they were kind of put into like a jar. Damian Visharin Oimer, and the Omer came and went, and therefore they're now permissible. O Dilma, Batlinu Agavara, or they become nullified because of the land that they were in. Teku, all three questions are answered with a wait and see. No answer. We'll see what Eliyahu Hanavi clarifies on the issues when he comes, hopefully soon in our days. Amar Rava, Amar Rav Chasa, Boi Ravami. I put a diamond around the boi. Ravami asks, and he says the following. Now, we know from the Mishnah, Ona'a, Ein Lehen Ona'a, is literally a 1/6 price discrepancy. However, Bitul Mekach Yishem, O Ein Lehem. Bitul Mekach, let's say it's greater than a 1/6 price discrepancy. Is there the possibility of that or not? Rashi says, let's go across to the Rashi, which is almost directly across from here, maybe a line or two down. Tiber maskel yeshlen oin lahen. Mi amrinan, do we say from the pasuk of al tonu, which is that you're not allowed to cheat somebody, that's the same word as similar word of ona, hu de emit is what you're not, veha lav bichlal ainahu, when it's a greater than 1/6 overcharge or undercharge, that takes it out of the realm of ainah, el it's a mekachtos, okay, and maybe there would be mekachtos in these things, odilma, I squeal it on the odilma, or maybe, kevan de lav davar shebemidahu, since it's not something like specifically this, a number or measurement, velo Ate bedibure, and the seller didn't say anything that was purposely misleading. Maybe kashar din oinahu, it would be like oinah, and the din would apply. That's the question. Amar Rav Nachman, Hadam Rav Chasa, Pasha Rabami, Rami concluded, oinah ein lahem, bitul mekach, though, yesh lahem. There would be bitul mekach, period, adkan.